Word became flesh and lived for a while among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, come from the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. Do you know your rights? You have a lot of them. If you were to make a study of all of the rights that apply to you, you better be prepared to invest in a college-level course. It will require many, many hours. If I say the word Bill of Rights to you, you likely are thinking of a revolutionary historical document. But there are a significant number of other rights that are yours that you may not be aware of. For instance, if you were to study all of the listings of the basic human rights as they've been compiled over the course of history, you would discover many of those listings you never knew about before. But as you study them over the eras of history, you will be very glad that they're there. But there are some that are unique to our existence right now. For instance, when you have a little time, if you're really all that interested, take a moment and type into your chosen search engine the words Taxpayer's Bill of Rights. And you will discover the rights that you personally have in regard to your relationship with the Internal Revenue Service, the tax collecting arm of our government that has a role in how you spend thousands and thousands of your dollars on a yearly basis. Important stuff. Once that's panned out your interest, then take just a minute and back off to just a general search for the Bill of Rights, and you'll discover that many corporations, in regard to their warranties, many homeowners associations, many other elements of life as you live it every day, have a defined Bill of Rights. If you're participating, you have rights. It's important that you're aware of the rights that you have and that you don't have. But the ironic thing about rights is while you can demand them, they only work if they're acknowledged by those in power over you and granted to you. Perhaps at some time in your life you may be involved in an effort to establish a new human right against some injustice. The process itself defines the reality that while it may be right and just until those in some form of power acknowledge that the right exists and is willing to grant it to you, it's only a concept and never a reality. So when the eternal creator God grants you a right, proclaims to you that you have a right to something, don't take it for granted. Don't overlook it as something insignificant. He is the highest authority possible. And what he declares, what he acknowledges, what he defends in these words as your right, no one can take away from you. But you may potentially forfeit that right if you're not careful. So let's be sure this morning to examine and cherish the most important God-given right very carefully. Return with me to the gospel lesson. Let's read beginning at verse 10. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. That's gospel. I know I may be distracting you at this point by asking you if you've opened your gifts yet. I know that it might take your mind and send it sideways into all kinds of other thoughts, but there's a reason why. I don't wish to distract you, but I wish you to make a calculation. Is any gift you have ever been given by any other human being ever more joyful and more precious than the gift your Creator, Savior, God is offering you in these verses? He came to dwell among us. It's spoken to us right here. Among his brothers, his human and sisters, human brothers and sisters, so they might fully understand what it means to be his eternal brothers and sisters, a part of God's eternal family, we're told here. At this time of year, we're also often reminded of the brotherhood of all mankind, the fact that we share so much significant DNA with every other human being that's ever lived. In fact, that commonality in our reality of ancestry is something that will be tapped often at this time of the year, trying to motivate us to give and support so many different causes. And one of the chief of the causes you will hear referenced at this time of the year is certainly peace. World peace, peace between human beings. That's what many think this time of the year is all about. But the Gospel of John, right here, John would have us understand ourselves as members of another family, an eternal family with connections and benefits that are far beyond anything we could ever experience in this earthly existence. So while it is true that every single human being is a child of the Creator by nature, that's not what these verses are speaking of. Study the heights and the depths of all of Scripture, and you will discover that every human being by nature, by birth, by ancestry, all the way back to our first human parents, have natural sin, struggle with sin. Discover it abundantly clear that there is no human being that has never fought this struggle and born by nature rebel against God with every fiber of us. Every heart in its own way declares its independence from God and forfeits all the rights that God gave first in creation and then in redemption. Those eternal rights as a child of God that John speaks of here. Look at the mess of the world swirling around you in any given moment, and realize all that brokenness, all that unhappiness, all of that disease and pain, violence and destruction, all of it is of human doing. Everything good, everything essentially morally good, everything that lights our lives with love and truth, every last thing is of God's doing. And everything else, the result of human sin. And it's not just swirling around us either. It's in us. It's in our hearts and it's in our relationships. It's so much of our own making. And the reality of sin and all that's deserving because of sin, the eternal punishment is an inescapable reality. Inescapable without intervention. Enter here the Word made flesh. Enter God and human in one person. Come to save the world from itself. And even though, as we're told here, the world did not recognize him for who he was then, and every single new day that this earth rotates, more human beings decide not to recognize and believe what he came to do, he still did it anyway. He lived the perfect life. He died the voluntary death. He rose triumphantly in glory on the third day to give you the right to once again claim yourself a child of God. Note how the Spirit has John construct this powerful statement. None of this has anything to do with any human effort, human decision, human activity, any notion. Not your mom, not your dad, nor any other ancestor who may have been the most wonderful Christian the world has ever known. There is only one place from which this right can be sourced to you, and that is why he came, to become one of us. The Christ was born of a virgin in a stable, placed in a feeding trough for the shepherds to adore for the purpose of establishing your right to become an eternal child of God. Look at everything your Creator God is willing to invest to make sure you have eternity with Him and make you His own. But you say to yourself, there must be a catch. After all, this isn't a full church this morning. In fact, there are plenty of churches in our vicinity and throughout our country that aren't even holding services this morning because people are so busy about all the other things that they've made Christmas about. So when everyone isn't connected to these rites for all eternity, the scriptures would say you are correct. Clearly, these words tell us that if any blood-bought brother or sister of Christ refuses the right he has won for them, God will not force them to exercise that right. The right to be a child of God abides only with those who have been led to trust, those who have understood what God has done and everything God has told us about in His Word. And by faith, worked by the Holy Spirit, hold him to every one of those promises. The right to be an eternal child of God is yours. And now, the only possibility of dropping the ball at this point is also yours. But don't let that discourage you this Christmas morning. Just the opposite. Let it be the Holy Spirit's inspiration for you to rely solely upon His working in word and sacrament. Relying completely on your God and all of His promises. After all, He has been so willing to completely invest Himself, emptying Himself of glory and power and all the wealth and wisdom of heaven to become one of us, to be our brother. And if He has taken all of this effort upon Himself to make you, to give you the right to become an eternal child of God, He will invest as much and more effort to keep you in the faith, promising, following through rather, on every promise that He has made to you to continue to forgive you and love you, guide you, provide for you, protect you, strengthening your faith, empowering you against temptation, guiding you through this life until that moment of your eternal destiny when you finally meet Him face to face and know what it truly means in full to be a child of God, to exercise all those rights without complication of sin and distraction. So come. Receive this feast of His body and blood for your forgiveness and your strengthening, but also as a foretaste of that eternal banquet where a place has been set for you and awaits that moment of fulfillment of your eternal rights. Acknowledge it in every way. Offer your prayers of thanksgiving and praise. Lift your voices in hymns and songs to the newborn King. Raise your voice in joyous proclamation and confession to the world around you that you know what it means to be a child of God and have the rights of a child of God and are willing to share with anyone willing to listen. This Christmas morning, you have every reason to celebrate. Celebrate this amazing gift of God, your God-given right to know yourself now and for all eternity as a redeemed, forgiven, welcome child of God. Amen. Please stand. Now grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen.